on this episode of Japan 2.0.
You're just like, what just are you going to do?
Yeah.
Again, another really reason why I am a paper driver.
No getting out of this.
Yeah. David literally thought he was going to walk away and the car was going to stay there forever. Mystical world of game and wonder. Arcade sensors like no other. Nostalgia, yeah. Every moment, everything you see. When I jump all on it, damn. Walking through these halls, my childhood is written on these walls. My inspiration and my energy, everything up to this point, this place has led me. Yeah, there's a place that's better. My fascination can't go on forever. So real, like a faded meeting with a brand new new shape from beginning. 2.2.2.0.0.
So buying a car in Japan. So once you get your license, we talked about the many avenues and paths and types of vehicles. But yes, buying a car in Japan is also complicated.
Shocking.
Yeah. We'll probably mainly just cover used cars here. But one thing I did know early on, again, when I moved here and joked that I thought, why would Albert or, you know, some of the other people at our school who live out in the suburbs, why would they do that? Soon after, I did hear about one coworker selling a car for like $1,000 to another coworker. I remember being like, $2,000 for that car. That car's worth 10 grand at least.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Free. It was free.
Well, in the end, it ended up becoming free. But like, it's free. Wow. But then, you know, and I was just mind boggled. And then someone's like, yeah, don't you know? Like, you can get a car here, like, steal of a deal, dirt cheap. And then I remember kind of just playing around, looking around sometimes and seeing like Mercedes or BMWs that were great. Again, where I grew up, those would go for 15 grand, going for $3,000, $2,000. And we just mean like,
for private sales.
Yeah. These are just one person selling it to another, typically within a foreigner community. And I just remember thinking like, I'll just get one of those and park it in my car and have like a man cave, like park it in the driveway. Just go sit out in a Benz for, you know, for a grand or two. Like that is quite insane. That is totally insane. So why? I guess so. Why can you get a car for so cheap here?
Because usually if you don't want a car, like say if you're leaving the country or, you know, you wanted to sell a car because it wasn't working, in America you would take it to like a junk place and they would give you money for it.
Right.
A couple hundred or something, but it's not.
Even if it was scrap or you could, you know, sell it off really easily. In Japan, if you want to get rid of a car because you don't want it anymore, you have to pay.
That shocked me.
You have to pay money for them to recycle your car.
Yeah, I paid.
And you paid so.
I paid. When I left Matsuyama after driving for a year, I paid like maybe $400 for the car. But when I left, I had to pay like about $200 to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And that was a shock. Yeah.
But if you do know about Japanese garbage, you won't be surprised because you have to pay. Anything is bigger than a garbage bag here, you have to pay to get rid of.
Again, small country, not a lot of space. Then you have to do something with that car, right? You can't just like put it in a junkyard in the middle of the desert.
But that culture extends. Like, it's pretty fascinating, right? To like a sofa, to a couch. You know, there's like this used kind of, you can get stuff really good cheap here, used.
Yeah.
That's true. It applies to cars too, because it's just so burdensome to get rid of things here.
Yeah, so instead of paying to get rid of a car, which could be upwards to hundreds of dollars from what I understand, depending on how big the car is.
Yes.
Why not sell it for $500 in or $200, you know, $1,000 and get some money from it? Mm-hmm. So that is why cars go for so cheap.
That's part of the reason. Yes.
Go ahead.
And what I've seen through the used motorcycle sales and all that, I've been doing a lot of online looking at different prices. It seems like when you go to sell it to these guys, they just give you just peanuts for whatever you're bringing in. So a lot of the complaints on the website about these different shops are that they barely gave me anything for.
Oh, so like if you take it to a dealer.
Yeah. You take it to dealer.
If you do take it to a dealer, they give you nothing. Yeah.
That's basically also in the culture. If you're going to sell a snowboard at a used shop or a leather jacket, they give you nothing for it too.
Yeah.
Because that's their business, is they upcharge that. And again, it's so burdensome to get rid of stuff here. I guess they take advantage of you there, right?
So let's talk about fees. With
hidden. So
segue.
We'll use our own personal anecdotes here. So we we're thinking about buying a car, and again, through these kind of foreigner communities where people kind of just need to leave, and they do tend to sell them kind of cheaply. And we saw a car for $5,000. It's called a Prius C in most English-speaking countries, but in Japan, it's called an Aqua. And it has 66,000 kilometers on it. 46 kilometers?
I think. Yeah.
No. Okay. It had a very low.
46 is really low.
That's yeah, super somewhere low. Between 40 and 60.
That's like nothing,
yeah. Yeah, it's 6 years old, 2015. And for $5,000 and hybrid. And I thought, wow, okay, yeah, sign me up. Liz showed up to me. I was like, I'm thinking about getting this. I'm like, yeah, that's a good deal.
I like to find some deals.
So, again, I knew Japan, sometimes things aren't always what they seem to be. There's a lot of paperwork or things. And so I knew there were going to be some fees. But once Liz started doing the research and breaking down all the fees, I said, no, I'm out. Let's not do this anymore. Oh. So what were some of those fees? So
there's a thing, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it, shaken.
Shaken, yes.
Shaken is like an inspection. So usually...
Oh, shaken was coming up on it.
So we're like...
This particular car is a diplomat's car, meaning that... this diplomat gets all this special workarounds.
They don't have to pay taxes. Okay. They don't have different to license plates.
They don't do shucking at all. Yeah. Okay.
So there's no shucking on the car. So
it's almost like a brand new car. And like, paperwork since... Yeah.
Okay.
So we would have to pay for shucking. Shucking is inspection. In the States, you go get your car inspected. It's about $45, right. If I remember.
Right, not much at all.
In Japan, shucking is kind of, you know, having a car puts a lot of wear and tear and pollution in Japan. They wanted to deter that as much as possible.
Right.
So one of the things they do is have very expensive
fees for
use fees to use the car. Part of that is their shaken, their inspection. If you have a brand new car, your shaken comes with the car. Basically, the dealership does it for you. You get it for 3 years. So you pay your fee upwards to about $1,000 or so.
I think so.
And that's for 3 years. After that, you have to renew it every 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Once it gets
older. Once it gets older. So at the initial first 3 years. And then we've heard, and I don't know how true this is because we don't know.
I'm pretty
but
sure it's true.
It's pretty true that after 10 years, then you have to do shaken every single year on an older car.
Oh, I don't know. Because our car is over 10 years old.
Yeah.
So I don't remember...
I started
because saying that, but I'll ask her.
What I noticed was when we're looking at used car sales, the year's 2021 as we're recording this, every 50% of the used cars were 2010. And I was like, that's really interesting.
Yes.
And then I thought about it. I was like, oh, you know what? 2010 is
10. Yes, they paid that one shaken. They don't want to have to do it again. Like, and all the shakens are coming up, too.
Right, I was like, 2010 is 10 years ago. Exactly. You know, that's a kind of like a round, easy number. I go, there's got to be something up with that. So let's Google it. And again, like the first Google
search. We could not find it.
One Google.
Because we were looking for another car that was a 2010 Nissan Cube.
Okay.
And so we're like, all right. And it was dirt cheap because they were leaving the country. It's an older car. But like Albert mentioned,
you can transfer the shock in. So you might get a year of it for free and stuff.
Right.
So
they just paid for it.
It's a little easier. You can delay that stuff.
And then David was like, oh, I can remember something about 10 years. Something about 10 years. Something's different with the car and the payments. We're not experts. I've never had this, but this is what I've read, that most Japanese people, once it hits that 10-year mark, instead of paying every year for shaken, they just buy a new car.
They just buy a new car.
Or you get, before that even, the 3-year thing you talked about when you buy a new car. So people often lease cars for 3 years and then just get a new car for 3 years.
Because if you notice on the road, all the cars are very new, except for like classic cars or foreign cars.
You can tell it's like a really cool car if it's an old car. You don't just see like old clunkers in Japan.
Yeah, you don't.
They're
classics.
They're
too expensive.
Yeah.
They're literally, those old clunkers are more expensive to keep up than it is to buy a newer car, it seems.
And I think many of the parents of... our students at the private school that we work at, many of them deal with exporting Japanese, really good condition Japanese cars all around the world, to the Middle East, to
we
Asia.
A coworker of ours who left our school going back to Australia, they had bought a Mazda, a really nice SUV Mazda. And and so they bought it not knowing that they were going to leave.
Yeah.
And they were going back to Australia and they're like, what do we do? That same car, it would have been more expensive to sell the car in Japan and buy the same car than it would be to ship the car.
It over.
Because Australia is so expensive to buy cars.
Do you remember
cars.
The shipping price? We heard the shipping price.
$5,000. That's it.
So even, I wouldn't say that's it. to me, that's the crazy thing. Is that $5,000 lost to ship is better.
Yeah.
Because
it was like, it was already fully paid off. Mm. It was every single feature, like it was souped up, leathered, see, like all that would have been so expensive that it was just cheaper to ship the car. And so that's what they did. However, we learned in laws in Japan, it seems that, and again, we're buying this diplomat car, so we don't know if it's just because it was a diplomat car, but from what I understand, Japanese law, if you buy a car, you cannot sell it for 6 months.
Oh, really?
If you're going to ship, if you're going to ship a car overseas, you have to have owned it for 1 year before you can ship it.
Okay.
So luckily our coworkers, not knowing that they were leaving, happened to have bought the car almost exactly
they just barely made it
where they were able to ship the car.
Amazing. Okay.
Because of this export thing, because people like to export cars.
Okay.
So I guess part of this export thing is that they have to buy these cars, own it.
Yeah.
For 1 year before they can actually ship it. So they must own land somewhere where they can keep these cars.
That's the feeling I got. They've got warehouses and things to keep these cars in. Okay.
And
so I have friends out here that have, one is this coworker who left. You get people back home like writing you saying, hey, you're out in Japan. Can you give me these parts or these parts and ship them over? One of the funniest ones, I forget the name for it because the guy was like butchering the name, but it's one of Matt's friends. And basically, he wanted the train handles that you go on the train.
That you hold on. The strap.
To put in your car where the strap, the top right or top left strap would be in the car. Because, like, the really cool, like, Fast and the Furious, like, Asian import cars.
The
Rice
Burner.
Like, out in L.A., they get the train things there, and it's, like, a cool, it's a cool look.
It seems like those would bang around.
So, yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, when you're driving.
Yeah, but I can't remember what the name was. You know, he's going to Matt being like, can you get me the Hayabusa? I need the Hayabusa. And Matt was like, I got no idea what a Hayabusa is, man. Like,
Hayabusa.
I used a random, Asian sounding ninja name.
Yeah.
I know Hayabusa. And Matt's like, I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, that kind of stuff, right, happens a lot. So it's kind of interesting living here. Like, for us, we don't really take advantage of it or, you know.
Actually, that same coworker had sent another car home to sell,
yes.
I think.
Right.
Yes.
One of the rally cars, was
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had like a
I heard about
up,
that and I thought
yes.
that was crazy, but now it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, like, you know, they had it for over a year and then they were going to get more money to sell it. I think they were moving from like one prefecture all the way to another prefecture.
Because that's a famous car, yeah.
And so they sent it back to Australia and made money on it.
I used to know what it was.
Maybe I should get into that.
He just said it.
What car was it?
It was the
Skyline?
It was one of those rally cars.
That was a Skyline.
No, I think they like Subaru.
No,
so maybe
it was that blue one that he had.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, the
They sold the Subaru.
No.
Subaru.
No, I think he had another one.
It was before
one.
That. I think it was a Skyline. This is like 10 years.
Oh, did he have a Skyline too?
I think so.
We don't know. It was another car, a souped up like racing car. Because even that's why the Subaru was like souped up because like they like those type of cars.
Yes.
The Subaru, I think they just traded in for the new one.
That's what they used to get.
Yeah, it was like
one.
Back
okay.
when they lived in that like little island prefecture or whatever.
While we're on this topic really fast, because we get people writing us asking, have you guys ever seen like drifting or like street racing? Because there's people who wants to talk about it.
No,
we're like,
no one
Matt
does
and I.
That here.
No, it does exist.
Yeah, but not like.
There's a good YouTube channel. I don't know the name for it, but it exists. But you have to like go find it. But just living my daily life. Again, I've seen Bosozoku all the time, motorcycle gangs.
We can hear them more
hear
than
them,
see them.
But I've never seen drifting or like street racing.
I saw Decotora or whatever for the first time recently.
The trucks are those?
Yeah.
Are, yes.
It was coming down in front of Marist and it just lit up all the lights like Christmas or something. It was pretty wild.
Decotora are like blinged out, pimped out, I guess, semi-trucks. Small semi-trucks.
Yes.
Airbrushing
the
lights.
Could
you
could drive that.
That's right.
That's their next thing that you're going to have to buy.
On the hot wire.
So sorry. No help there.
So you have to do the shock hand, which part of this inspection is anything is wrong with your car. We're talking about windshield wipers, bald tires, belts, or whatever. They do like a 60-point check on your car.
Yes, yeah.
And if anything is found, you know, lacking, you have to fix it.
Yes.
Before you can get your your shock
in.
So if you're doing it, it can be quite costly if you have to fix up things on your car. So again, some people will get this and they feel like, oh, you need to fix all these things. And they're like, I'll just rather buy a new car. Mm-hmm. Like, depending on how much the car is worth.
I see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. that belief system in Japanese people, many Japanese people,
yeah,
are ready to sell the minute it gets old. So mm-hmm. I had to convince Rika not to do that with our car because I just have always heard that, the minute you buy a new car, it depreciates.
The first 5 years, right?
And mm-hmm. so the cost of repairing the car is not that bad once it's... when it's older or whatever, it's just not anywhere close to having to buy a new car. Mm-hmm. And
we've heard some tips, which is you go to a place out here, it's called AutoBax. It's like a popular one, right?
There's some discount.
It's like an AutoZone, I guess, back home.
Yes.
And then they'll do a free check for you, mm-hmm. right? And
like
then
an initial kind of
pre-check. And then you just say, like, oh, yeah, thanks. I'll go somewhere. Like, I'll take that and go somewhere else.
Right.
And then you can fix some of the things on your own. There's simple things.
I also just read that at the place that you do your registration, you can also do your own self-check. Self-check-in.
Okay.
So they have all the equipment there. If you understand how to do it, you can do this check on your own. It takes a long time waiting around.
Wow.
But apparently that is something that you could do to keep your costs down.
Okay.
Will I be doing that? Absolutely not.
There's one guy I know who does it.
Yeah.
And he tried to explain it to me, but it was too complicated.
Yeah, for someone who doesn't speak. And you have to know a little bit about cars. I know absolutely nothing about cars, which we'll talk about how ridiculous my test drive was later, maybe.
So anyway, they're shocking. There's like a insurance like there is everywhere else in the world
you pay
monthly.
No, so shocken includes a weight fee.
Oh.
So they weigh you depending on how much your car weighs. The more the car weighs, the more you have to pay.
Yeah, you're in a different class.
Yes.
So K cars are the famous ones here. They're super mini, small. Mm. You know, you can only fit 4 people.
They're like 1,000 cc's.
Barely.
Yeah. They would look like a golf cart.
Yeah.
Right.
In America.
And they sound like one too when you're trying to go up a hill.
Yes.
They have special license plate colors, and the main reason people get those is they're the cheapest fees to own.
Yeah.
And a lot of people
and
have
they're small
them. They're
to fit
prevalent.
Into small little parking spaces and narrow streets. So you have to pay a weight fee. Then part of your shotgun also is a mandatory like liability insurance.
Oh. Okay.
Which every person has to have. However, no one just has this insurance. Then you would have to go also and get insurance to cover. I believe that insurance just covers the car that you hit, maybe.
Yes.
Doesn't cover your car, doesn't cover medical, doesn't cover anything. So then you'd have to go get your regular. But so everybody has this fee that you have to pay, which is this
built in
to the shaken. Then there's also car tax that you have to pay every year, every 3 years. I'm not exactly sure. We're all learning this.
Yeah.
But
I let my wife take care of everything.
Yeah, there's lots of fees. So not only are you buying a car, but then there's all these fees just to have a car, including if you need a parking space. That can cost, you know, if you're buying one of these secondhand cars, can cost sometimes more than the car itself.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
So going back to our personal example here so you can kind of learn from it, this $5,000 kind of car that sounded really fun to do occasional road trips and go to Costco was kind of
Costco mobile.
Was quickly turning into like $8,000 or $9,000 up front, not to mention these reoccurring things like shotgun that every couple of years, a couple thousand dollars. I'm just thinking, okay, over the next 3 years, this $5,000 investment, I would think, okay, it might be an extra $1,000 and stuff over the 3 year period, you know, could be 12, 13, 14 thousand. And it's like, man, I don't want a little car like that badly. So we tell the guy, hey, look, sorry, thank you so much for everything, but it doesn't look like it's gonna work out. I don't think we have enough, you know, we didn't put aside enough money to really. Now we've done the research.
And it's not even that. It's not that we don't have the money. It's just that
we
don't need a car.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
This is like a
fun.
Very frivolous thing.
Yeah.
And so we're like, yeah, so we had
we lived
very
here for 9 years.
Budget that
just have
we
something
to
fun
work
and
with.
New to play around with, right?
Yeah.
So anyhow, the guy is crazy nice and or just like doesn't want to deal with crazy people on the internet. And it's just like, okay, how about I just knock off a couple thousand dollars?
Wow.
I'll just give you $3,000 then.
This is the Cube?
No, this is the Prius.
Whoa. Okay.
So, yeah, now it's cheaper than the older Cube. You know, it's a hybrid. And this guy's just really, really nice. And he's like, I'll come drive out to your house even because, I know what it's like to not have a car. I have the car. I'll drive out to your house. It's an hour away. And come test drive it and check it out, you know? So we're like,
this was before we even said yes, because we were still like, oh, we need to figure out like about the fees and now the registration, because again, this is going from diplomat car to a regular person car, okay, which adds even more.
You're dealing with the diplomat.
Yes.
Himself.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
Okay. We don't know anything. Like, we're pretty nicest, we're pretty excited to meet him. Because diplomats are rare, you know? Yeah. A lot of special training. So it turns out he's also a fellow American. He's supposed to meet us at, you know.
Again, streets, especially residential streets in Japan, are crazy.
Yes.
Very narrow.
Very narrow
for one car, but most of these streets are made to be two ways. Yes. So there's lots of backing up and, like, you know, letting someone go in front of you.
Cars.
And so, and my street is a one-way street, but it's two-way. It's hard to explain.
So you have to, like, pull into someone's driveway and let someone go by you sometimes.
And then you can't just come in from one way and go out the other way. You have to turn around and go back the other way. It's very confusing. So I was like,
this neighborhood scares me.
This, yes. And another reason.
I drove here once and I did not enjoy it at all.
I'm so sorry.
One of the advantages is we're very close to subway stations and very centrally located. So it's nice in that way, but I guess for driving, it's not nice.
Yes.
So if you want to live, you know, downtown, those are the
another reason why I was like, oh, I don't know if I want a car. We're trying to see if we can get a parking space at our workplace. We don't know, just because it's just easier to go in and out. And
so Liz is worried about driving, test driving someone else's car. She doesn't have a ton of experience. We've only kind of driven this one car only to Costco.
I also don't want to have to explain to this guy this crazy way to get to my, my house. And so, also, you don't want a stranger coming to your house when you have a kid. Like, you know, you want to put some safe. So I was like, oh, we can meet at the aquarium. And then we ended up saying, I told him, I was like, oh, no, you have to pay. Like David mentioned, you have to pay to go into the aquarium parking lot.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, it's also like beach season, beach. And I was like, it might be full.
Really crowded, yeah.
So I was like, okay, there's this like inlet area like near our house that like, you know, like the parking guys, what is it, delivery men, they'll like park their big trucks there right up at the top right over here. And it's a one-way road, but you can park there. And I was like, oh, this would actually be really great. Like, he can park, we can look at the car, then I can drive it. It's
there's no
really
cars coming behind, no traffic. Yeah.
However, I failed because, again, I've never driven there. Like, other people have. I didn't tell him, like, oh, it's a really sharp turn right after you cross the street. So we see him zoom past.
Okay.
And I'm, like, waving to him. But, again, we're in this road, like, you can't just do a U-turn. Like, there's no median.
No,
and so the poor man, so I guess he starts seeing like, there's a left turn. Oh, there's a left turn. There's a left turn. He makes a left turn and then he's in another residential road and he goes to a right turn. Like he thinks he can just go around.
Yeah.
However, it goes from a car path to basically a footpath.
Oh.
And he's stuck in the footpath.
Oh, no. He got into the footpath.
He started turning.
He starts texting. He's like, hey, I'm going to need a favor from you guys.
And I'm just like, yes. I'm like, we're walking over there.
He's like, I'm pretty sure I'm on a bicycle path right now.
And then, but he's sending me these hilarious things.
Easy to do.
He's like, dear God. Yes. He's like, dear God, I don't think this is a road.
We're getting these slow updates. So we have our son with us and we're just scouring the neighborhood trying to find where this guy could have went.
He sent us a Google Maps, luckily.
So then we reconvene and I'm like, okay, I think I can figure out where this is.
Think of Austin Powers when he's stuck in the hallway on the car, when he's just like, you know, back and forth, back and forth. He is wedged into this road.
Oh, no.
And it's right in front of this house.
It's like a dead end road that turns into this. It turns into like this skinny path that on Google Maps looks valid as a road, which is why he went there.
But it's
like a walking
road.
Literally, and this is a very small car.
Oh, no.
Only a motorcycle could fit down it, like a scooter.
Wow.
So he's down in this dead end, which is like these two houses.
At a decline.
And it's a steep decline.
And a huge wall.
So you have to like, you know, pedal the metal.
He literally can't.
He needs someone to direct him so he doesn't scrape.
What he's asking for.
So even with directing him.
So we find this guy in this pickle, right? In this hairy situation.
Oh, no.
And there's no like, oh, hi, I'm David. Nice to meet you. He's like, all right, guys, here's what I need you to do. And I'm like, okay. He's like, can you stand here? And you stand here. I'm like, all right. He's like, you got to move the tree out of that person's yard. I'm like, no.
We're moving bicycles. We're opening gates.
This is later. I'm just like, oh, no, we can't do that. No. But he's been there for a bit. He knows the situation more. He's like, no, I think you're going to need to move their gate out of the way. I'm like, I'm not going to go to someone's house.
Okay,
in Japan, you don't go to someone's
house.
David
is usually my co-pilot, right? I'm the driver here. David doesn't drive. I drive. He's my co-pilot. I'm terrible at backing up because I'm from Texas. You don't back up anywhere.
It's scary.
I never had
on
to.
These narrow roads.
Yeah.
I like to think I'm pretty good at backing up.
David knows how to back up. He's had
I can't drive in
ways.
Japan, though. But
he's good. So he always tells me where to go. So I'm like, hey, David, like, I'll take our kid. you go instruct it. Yeah, you back up the car.
It didn't look, I thought, yeah, we'll get this guy out in a minute or two. Like, no problem. Yeah.
David straight up. This is David, this is what David does. If he gets frustrated by something, David doesn't explode. He doesn't get angry. He just walks away. So he literally just walks away. And he's after, like, you're up, Liz.
After 10 or 15 minutes of not this. Like, back. Hey. No, it was. I, by the way, just gotten back from a doctor's appointment where I passed out. So I'm afraid, I'm afraid of doctors. So I just passed out at a doctor's office, sitting in underwear only, naked in the office, dealing with language issues. And I show up to this scene of some stranger, you know, yelling directions, stuck.
No one was yelling.
No, not yelling.
It was
but
all
like,
very jovial. We were just like, what if... At one point, they try to literally, because the car is so small, they're like, we're going to have to move
not
the
we.
Car.
He comes out, and he's, again, this diplomat, he's done all these things. Wow. He goes, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to lift it. I was like, I don't, my son is like, that's not going to work. And I'm like, I'm not sure about that. He's like, well, I've done crazier things in my life.
World's smallest car, but yeah.
So what ends up happening is I step up because David just walks away. Mm. And luckily, this lovely lady comes.
That's part of the reason I walk away is I hear the door at the house.
Oh, sorry. We've been banging it.
The guy literally hit their tree a couple times.
David just likes to close his eyes or walk away from situations.
So I hear the door start the rattle, and I think, oh, God, here we go. Three people. Right. I doubt this guy can speak any Japanese either.
He doesn't.
And I'm giving
90-degree bows. Sumimasen, gomenasai. This lovely lady opens up her gate to us, lets her go into her little tiny driveway. Sorry. That's not even a driveway.
To turn around.
It's so, but
it's not even a driveway. It's like an enclave.
She doesn't have a car. Oh. So it's
we're moving all her decorations.
So that the car can fit in there.
It was just like 6 more inches, but we needed any space possible.
And so this lovely lady lets us go into her private property. Mm-hmm. That we've already been invaded.
Okay.
And then we get the car out.
Barely.
At this point, now we have to buy this car.
Yeah. It was so the most insane introduction that I've ever had with a person.
He gets up, he backs up, and he goes.
In similar situations.
It's scary.
I wanted to break down and just start crying because I thought
you're just
I was
like, what are you
going to
do?
Yeah.
Again, another
really
reason
thought,
why
away,
I am
I
a paper
like,
driver.
No getting out of this.
Yeah. David literally thought he was going to walk away and the car was going to stay there forever. Even the guy who owns the car.
No problem.
Yeah, he was just like, I'm about to leave the country. I thought I was just going to leave the car.
I got the diplomat plates. So.
He does.
So literally, I hop in the car. He gives us some Thin Mint cookies because he's a nice person. He gives us some Girl Scout cookies.
The most American thing ever.
He's like, here you go. And so I go, so he actually gets in. He drives. And he's like, oh, you should be driving. I'm like, oh, gosh, I really don't watch this movie. Be like, you just drive. And I'll just sit here.
Wow.
But so we go to a temple, which is literally right down, you know, the road from my house.
Okay.
That's a parking, free parking space. So
We switch. The surfing one?
I drive down the road up to 7-Eleven, which is like what? Like a fourth of a mile?
Yeah.
And then I go in and I park and that's it. Yes, we'll buy your car. Okay.
He was pretty shocked.
He's like, oh, you don't want to drive it more? I was like, I don't want to get into an accident when I am like, when this is your car, like, nah.
With all of that,
Ollie was with us. He doesn't really like being in cars, our kid, and all this stuff. And I was just like, no, I'm good. The car works. It's lovely. Right. Yes, we will take the car.
That's
good. I feel bad because he drove like an hour there, got stuck, and then I drove for like
five minutes.
I think it was more like 2 minutes. Yeah. And I was just like, yep, we're good.
That's amazing. That's hilarious.
So now we're in all the paperwork again. So in Japan, you have to
Albert,
okay, I wish.
Now
it's
kind of hard.
Frustrating stuff.
Yeah, so usually you would just have the person who owns the car would deregister the car under their name.
Oh, yeah.
Usually everything is paid. Taxes are already paid. Shotgun's already paid.
Right.
Then you just go and register it in your name.
Because it's a diplomat's car, then
he has
everything is totally different.
Completely different. He has to deregister it.
Wow.
He has to take off the license plates.
Okay.
But I can't register it until I get Shaken and license plates.
Okay, whoa.
So we're going to have to find a way to get the plates on. I can't just drive it. So it's all this stuff. But in the end, it's going to totally be worth it.
Okay, yes.
We're going to update everybody about all of our road trips. Hopefully, we're trying to get a road trip in. Once we get this car, it's going to take probably a couple weeks if I can actually drive it.
Okay.
But me, Matt, David and Emily are thinking about maybe going to Tokyo.
Oh, cool.
Cool. Save some money on Shinkansen tickets. And just, we've always watch talked out for about. The cops. Yeah.
They always. Will see your COVID plates and think you're Yakuza.
So you've driven to Tokyo somewhere recently.
To pick up my son for the, do the rules of
COVID. Do you remember what the tolls were? Because that's our big scare. Because it's so hard.
I use that ETC card, so I don't even see what the toll is. But there is a toll calculator, and I'll send you the link to it because it's quite easy to use.
Mm-hmm. You have to know. I found one, and I was like typing in Kobe and Tokyo, but that wasn't working. You had to like know the highway name.
Yeah, you have to know the special name.
Okay,
you gotta teach us
exact exit.
You have to be sensei. You have to teach us. Like what Albert said is cars come with a toll reader. And it's called ETC.
ETC.
So it's a card.
You have to get it installed sometimes.
And you get it installed. But luckily our car that
has
hopefully
it
has it. We just have to get registered in our name or something.
Just get that card and just plug it in there.
That's what I thought, right? Yeah. You don't have to register it, right?
No,
you just get a card.
We used it in,
you can swap out
we
cars.
We took ours to Okinawa and, put it in
that's
the rental
what I thought.
Car.
I think the guy's a little bit confused. He's like, oh yeah, you just have to go get it registered. I don't know. Okay.
It's just a card.
So you get a card. It's linked to your credit card. You put it in. You just go through the toll. You don't have to stop. And then it just charges you. And it's a discount.
Yes. A big discount.
Big discount.
Compared to if you have to
pay
with cash.
Tolls.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we already applied for that.
Good. Yeah.
And hopefully we get
We're
on our way. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
One of the final things that I really want to talk about, we hit on some of it with the backing up and the tight spaces and all that. And this is probably going to be Albert's biggest contribution is like just general driving differences or what it's like to drive in Japan compared to you drove in LA probably the most before here.
LA all the time. Yeah.
So I'll just start off. I've never driven here, but I was kind of surprised to hear from coworkers, and these are mostly Australian coworkers, that as a passenger, as someone who's biking in the roads a lot here, or just I do a lot of walking compared to Detroit where I grew up driving here again. Just from those experiences, walking seems very passive, very kind, very courteous. I don't see accidents. I saw accidents all the time where I grew up. I saw roadkill everywhere where I'd be walking. I don't see a lot of roadkill.
Again,
I know these are like funny anecdotes, but the kind of things that, again, just biking in the roads or walking that you would see. I don't hear like a lot of honking or angry people like screaming out the window, giving the finger as they
that's
go by.
True.
All these things I would see on a monthly basis,
almost to the
weekly
point
basis.
Of like when you hear somebody honk, it's like, it's shocking.
Yeah, it is shocking.
A coworker of ours, because
people
of COVID,
do not want to
do
it. Even when the person in front of them is like looking at the smartphone and the light's red for a while, it takes a long time before
they
someone
honk.
And it's always
a very
happy honk.
As short as they can.
So a coworker of ours, because of COVID, she was in town and she didn't want to get on the train, so she took a taxi, which again, taxis are very expensive. You rarely take them unless you really need it. And she was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what happened. My taxi driver was just on that horn the whole time.
Whoa.
Like, it was, exactly. Yes.
Whoa.
And she was like, it was a terrible experience because you literally.
In Kobe or?
Yes, from San Omiya. Yeah.
Wow.
It was Karen.
No.
And she was just, right before that, she had another pretty bad experience in a taxi. She was like, what's going on?
I will say, in Kyoto, where I've personally been honked at, because I jaywalk a lot. Albert probably knows.
Oh, taxi driver.
And taxi drivers in Kyoto will honk at me a lot for jaywalking.
Okay.
They'll be so far away from me.
I don't think they would do that to a Japanese person, but I think it's because they're fed up with foreigners.
Why I say Kyoto is that it's ridden with tourists, right?
I see, because there's a lot of people just breaking laws without knowing they're breaking the law.
Yeah, and it's annoying when they're trying to drive,
right?
And so David's perpetuating the stereotype.
It's another Detroitism and we all jaywalk there. But, you have to survive. Got to cross those streets. But yes, so I was really shocked to hear, particularly New Zealand and Australian coworkers, say that they felt the driving here like people were really aggressive and lots of road rage, and they just thought driving was so bad. Again, it's relative.
Yeah.
So I guess in Australia or New Zealand, it must be great. But
I have found that people are insanely nice here.
Yes.
People like
they let me in when they would never let me in normally. Yeah.
Everyone seems pretty chill. Like I'm probably the most aggressive person because one thing I hate, and I'm sorry I'm dominating this conversation, especially as being a paper driver, is in Japan they don't have a lot of parking spaces. So what they do is you put your hazards on and you park in the road. Like if you're
on the side. On the side.
So like
even when there's not designated parking spaces.
Yeah, so like if you're just gonna like run into the post office or go to a shop really quickly, you literally park in the road.
Yes, they're covering half the lane. And you have to go around.
So if you're in the right lane.
If you're in the left lane.
Yeah. Left lane here, yeah.
Yeah, if you're in the left lane, you know, the slow lane, which because I'm not very experienced, so I want to prepare. I like to prepare to turn left. If I'm gonna turn left, I'm gonna drive in the left lane.
Yes.
Always
there's
cars in there.
And then you have to squeeze in with the other people.
Yes.
But they're ready for you. Like,
yes.
Yeah,
usually are pretty good. But again, I'm a nervous driver, so I always wait till every single car passes. That's me.
I do that a lot too. I do that. I'm really cautious.
Yeah.
Whereas all the time I see Japanese drivers, they're just
squeezing in. Yeah.
And just expecting the other person to move
whereas
if I did that back home, maybe someone would go, oh, I can get some free insurance money or something. Yeah.
And so and this is not something that's like few and far between. Like if I'm going on a stretch of road, there's probably about 4 or 5 cars in the road, just parked
it's
in the
constant.
Road.
Yes. Yeah.
It's constant.
Or sometimes there's like a clothing store I like that has like a cafe, and we just constantly see people just like pull up and park on the road.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm always looking like, are the cops gonna come?
They're
like,
trying on clothes inside.
Yeah,
you're
gonna they'll just pull in on the main road and try on clothes.
The hazard light here, you can do whatever you want as long as those hazard lights are on.
Yeah. It's true. It's rare to get a ticket. Yeah.
Also, they'll leave the car running for so long, and I'll just see people sleeping in cars here all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So again, these are like my non-driver experiences, but just constantly I'll be downtown like city, and I'll see a lot of times like workers, like construction workers and stuff, just eating
lunch
a meal or and but
on their phone,
but the car is on, like the engine. I know, but like
and gas is crazy expensive here.
Oh, that is true,
right?
Yeah. So
I guess it's a company dime. So but yeah, so I probably have the most road rage I've seen because I really hate when I'm trying to, like, you know, I know my left turn is coming, so I'm in that left lane. I'm like, gosh, I have to go over, and I get really nervous.
Right.
Very nervous driver in Japan.
Yes.
So Liz goes the exact speed limit. And
exactly.
That's amazing. No wonder you passed that test. You're a safe driver.
But with that,
it seems like that's the thing
she says.
Literally, no one else goes, and I'm causing traffic because I'm going the correct way. So the most they have in Japan is like 100 kilometers per hour, which is like about 65 miles per hour.
Probably
it's like the fastest.
It doesn't feel very fast compared to America.
Most roads are between 40 to 60 that I've ever seen personally.
Yeah.
And that's kilometers.
Mostly 40s.
So that is like 30 miles per hour.
Probably. Yeah.
In Kobe, a lot of it's like in the like mountain types, right? You're on these small roads.
Yes.
And so it's quite slow. But no, I'm the only one going.
You're the only one.
Yeah, laughing
everyone
at me.
Everyone is going.
Everyone is hating
10
me.
10 to 20 kilometers
because
over.
These, again, are small roads. So they can't pass me because it's just a 2-lane road, one way each way. And I'm just like, but I also don't want to get a ticket because I can't speak Japanese.
Right.
I'm driving a coworker's car. I don't even know where their insurance
is. I have heard, though, that the police will excuse up to 10 kilometers over the speed limit.
Like back home is
so
5.
So maybe you
right?
can boost it without worrying about getting a ticket.
Back home, everyone goes 5.
So this is what, if I'm in the flow of traffic and I'll go when everyone else is going.
Oh, okay.
But if I'm by myself and I'm the first one, I'll stick closer.
Because you're the one who's going to get the ticket.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, if you're leading the pack.
And also, I don't know even what the speed limit is most of the time.
That's true. It's not marked. It's a long time before you see a
sign. From what I understand, if you're in a residential area, it's automatic 40 or 50.
Ooh, yeah.
There's like automatic ones. So
some are even slower, I think.
And you have to memorize these because they'll just, so they only really will post signs if it's not the one that normally it is. And again, I don't know any of these rules. I can't read signs in Japan, which is another reason why I'm a little bit nervous driver. I'm sure once I drive more,
yes,
and I'm driving my own car where I know where the insurance is and stuff.
Watch out for those one-way roads and yes. And those, yeah, the signs are totally different. So it's like hard to even know when.
There are, if you've never been in Japan, a lot of English signs though, like shockingly.
But
Japan
like,
doesn't often have a lot of things in English.
So
it is crazy how much the signs are.
So I'm not
in
talking
English.
About like signs about like where to go.
I'm just saying that that's something you should know. That it is surprising how well.
But signs are very different here.
Sure.
As well.
Yeah.
And so those are things I'm just gonna have to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm driving not only just a coworker's car. I'm driving my boss's car.
Oh.
He's letting me use his car.
Wow.
And so like I don't want to. Be like, oh, I got a ticket in your car. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't want to mess up. So I'm very cautious when I'm driving this car.
Okay, that's
taking a big leap of faith by buying a car because this is promising. When it's not the boss's car, all these things are going to be different. But I don't know. Another thing that to talk about is backing into parking spaces here.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
If you do not back into a parking space, you're a big old weirdo in Japan. You
Which,
will
okay.
go to a parking lot and 99% of the cars
100%.
Are all backed in.
And you know the one person who is not backed in is me, the foreigner. Because get this, in Costco, where you have to put all your groceries in your trunk, people will back into the space. So then when they have to put their stuff in the trunk, they have to move their car forward in order to get into their trunk. It doesn't make sense. Guess what? I'm an independent woman, as Albert says, and I do not back up into Costco.
That's good.
One, because I'm terrible at backing up, and two, because it doesn't make sense. You want access to your trunk.
Right. That's so true. Yeah, you don't want to get crowded
in. So because they love backing up here in the parking spaces, the camera, back camera is like standard. Our car, however, does not have one. But
oh, the grease doesn't have one.
It was the first thing I asked. And I don't know. I feel like it's new enough that it should have one.
Yeah. That is weird that they didn't get one.
Yes.
Okay. How strange.
That was the first thing I asked.
Yeah.
How many kilometers do you have? And do you have a backup camera?
Okay. Oh, man.
Because I'm so terrible at backing up. Now, in Japan, cars come in. Again, I have not owned a car.
You should get one installed. It helps out a lot. Yeah.
That's what I,
Otherwise, you're going to have like dents in weird places.
Yes.
With all the little things that are hanging down. And
I have not owned a car. The last time I bought a new car was my senior year of high school. So in 2003.
Oh, wow.
Which they did not have such thing as backup cameras.
Okay.
So in Japan, when you get a fully loaded car, they have cameras that show your whole... Somehow
on top of the car.
Like,
have you seen the ones on
top?
Our rental car had that, but
isn't
I hated
insane?
It because it was so tiny, I could barely see it.
Yeah.
So I kind of like the full screen, like the bigger
backup,
the screen better, the more I can tell. But we had the one where it looks like you're
a top
view of your car.
They piece together all the different cameras.
It's really wild.
And then they also have sensors, not only... that
time.
Tell you that if you're in the lane, if you're too far in the lane, they also have sensor. These things are connected to sensors that will move your car if you're getting too close.
Right.
All these
or following too close to the car in front of you.
All these crazy things. I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually glad I don't have that. The
it
only thing I
me,
want
more than help.
Yeah. Like our coworker, I'm renting one of the Times rental car, and there's this like coming back from Costco. There's this two-way road that is very, very, very narrow.
Okay.
And he says the whole time he was where Big Boy is. Do you know where Big Boy is? Like when you're coming down?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, Big Boy as in the restaurant, but it's not the same.
But the same. Seriously.
Yes.
It is, but it isn't.
And he says that the whole time he was going down, like every single sensor was going off because it's such a narrow road. But you can't move anywhere else. And I'm like, I'm so glad that the car shouldn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted a backup camera. So the cameras here, and again, I'm sure cars in America have this, but they show you like when to turn, like how to turn, like yellow zones, red zones, like all these
the
crazy
new ones. Yeah,
your car has that, right?
No, I've got the 15-year-old car.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it's got just the basic backup thing, and that's
but,
it.
But you do have a backup camera.
I do have a backup camera, and it luckily it. It marks off
the
meters,
the grid. Yeah.
Like how close I am to whatever I'm going to get close to. Yeah.
All right. Other differences in car culture. When you're on a road trip, you're on a highway and you need to take a stop. We call those pit stop things.
Rest
stops. Rest stops.
Yes.
Rest stops in Japan. very unique culture, I think. For me, in Japan, there's not a lot of stuff like that. Like, it's very much like America.
Yeah.
Don't you think? But in it's kind of weird to see that. What I would say, like, American culture.
Restaurants.
Pit stops. Right, but there are differences, of course. But I just wouldn't expect there to be rest stops in Japan. Like, the car culture here is very American to me.
But isn't everyone in Korea had them, too?
There's a strong culture of them here. Like, they have churros.
Because,
always they have churros. Hmm.
What they do is
the cinnamon stick thing,
right? Oh, no way. Okay.
So there's usually, like, a few, like, restaurants.
Yeah.
There's lots of vending machines. There's bathrooms.
Showers.
And there's usually a souvenir, like, an omiyage shop. So so whatever is famous in that area,
you
can buy it. Whether it be mochi or special orange juice or sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
And then they have all those things.
And I think the big one in Awaji, near the bridge.
Onions.
They even have souvenirs from other prefectures.
Yeah. So you can cheat.
So if you forget and you left the prefecture you were
before,
going to, without getting a souvenir, you can pick up one late.
That's so funny.
It's really funny, yeah.
Because, yeah, omiyage culture, if you go anywhere, you have to bring back, like, a I'm sorry gift to your coworkers, especially.
I'm sorry for having fun.
Yeah, right?
While you did
it. While you did it. And so they're usually, like, usually prepackaged snacks. And something that's from that area. So Okinawa are the purple sweet potato.
Oh, yes.
Shortbread cookies.
Yeah, all these things, you know, Awaji's onions. So they have onion flavored everything.
I have a running joke
on
a podcast that no one likes omiyage.
No one does.
They like the act of it, but no one actually thinks that
sweet potato treat
from Okinawa. If I could get that every day, I'd be so happy.
The one thing that I heard is Tokyo banana. People love Tokyo banana from what
do.
I heard.
Okay.
Matt likes them. He always corrects me. Anyhow.
I don't like the culture, and usually the stuff sucks.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you for all those who groomed to me.
I mean, when it's on my desk at work, I'm happy.
No, I like the sentiment of it, because, like, you're thinking of me, and I always feel bad because there's always just the Japanese, like, real Japanese coworkers that do it, and all the foreigners rarely do it because we're horrible people.
I tried to.
I like the American ones
that
put the Reese's peanut butter cups, and I'm happy. I'm happy
when
those are there.
Yeah.
Well, someone brings, like, American
candy. From back home.
Or Australian
candy.
Then
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, the caramel koalas. And that's what's up.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that one. Wow.
Anyway, other things about, like, American driving that you miss or, you know, that you think are.
Oh, jeez. I was going to say that I miss, you know, having a big wide road. But the time I went back for Joey's graduation. I mean, Joey's entering college.
Yeah.
My son's entering college. I got on the road, and the cars now are so humongous. They make American roads feel like Japanese roads. And I could not enjoy it at all. I was stressed out the whole time. I thought I was going to take out people's mirrors. And
this is in California or Arizona?
Arizona.
It was in Arizona and California. Yeah. So we crossed Arizona, California, and Nevada.
Okay.
And
so all of them felt the same.
Everywhere I drove, I felt like I'm back in Japan. I've got to, like, try to squeeze in this spot, and I had the boat of all boats, this huge minivan, like I think the biggest Toyota minivan they make or something like that. And it felt huge. It felt like I was just barely, you know.
Well, I'm impressed because Albert drives a minivan here in Japan.
Oh yeah,
is a big car for these roads, which, again, why he hated coming to my house, because
it's
a pretty insane area over here.
Their neighborhood is very complicated. There's no straight road at all. There's, like, blind corners everywhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
The fact there's no outlet is the craziest part.
Yeah, there's the inlet and the outlet is one, and it's insane.
Anyway.
The friend who was actually getting her license at the same time I was getting mine, but she's a Japanese person getting it, and she did get her license. She bought a car.
Oh, good.
And she took us to Costco. Hey. And so, you know, you need to get dropped off at your house because you have all your groceries. And I was like, yeah, there's no problem. Again, I had never driven here, but other people had. Like,
right.
You know, experienced coworker drivers who've come, and they didn't have that much of a problem.
Oh, good.
And this poor girl had, you know, she was already nervous driving. And I was like, okay. And I left her with my sister, who not a driver, not a good navigator, nothing. I love you, Crystal, but when it comes to driving, not so good. And so they were going to her place next, and they said it was, I felt so bad afterwards because I wasn't there to help, and it was a situation.
Okay. She was just like,
yeah, how to go out, how do I back up? And yeah. I was just like, she's a saint.
Oh, man, yeah. Suma is rough. This whole area is rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The residential areas here are insane.
They're insane. Like, coming to work, sometimes I have to take a shortcut so I don't miss this big backup at a light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like driving down an alley. Where at any moment you feel you could, you know, easily take off both mirrors at the same time. Mm. And whenever I drive down that, I just tell the kids, like, I'm like that Star Wars fighter going into the Death Star. And I'm just skimming through there.
The amount of using cars. The force. Yeah, amount of cars, especially minivans, and I'm sorry, driven by women, that have scratches all down the sides.
That's true.
It's the mommy mobile. Like, they have to take all their kids.
The cars
they have
are
the minivans.
Really dinged up here.
Yeah.
Like,
because
compared to back home. Like,
they're new.
But crazy. Like, Japan, they take care of everything so well here. So, you know, they're, like, maintaining it.
Quick. Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think just with the way parking is and stuff, things just get bumped.
But the scratches along the sides of minivans is totally
a
thing here.
Okay.
It's totally
man,
a thing
okay.
here.
A lot of the cars here will have, like, these styrofoam...
That's more in Korea.
Bumpers? It's definitely in Korea. Like, every car has that in Korea. But I've seen it on some cars here, too.
Oh, interesting. Where, like, what is it?
Some of BMWs and like some of the nicer cars here, on the doors, they'll put these little like styrofoam bumpers.
Oh, okay.
And so that
when
they
open,
don't dinged. Yeah.
Because it's so tight in the parking spaces too.
In
yeah.
Korea, literally every car has these blue foam things on the doors so
that's
they don't hit
funny.
Each other because, you know, again, lack of land spaces.
It's not that stylish or...
No.
No, it's not cool. Yeah.
I was like, why is it... I was like, are these all new cars? Like, they forgot to take that off? Like,
yeah.
The craziest thing in Korea is actually that every single car, 100% of cars, have a phone number lit up somehow. Like, even the car's off, it's lit up with funny, gaudy
sometimes
lights.
It's just written. Sometimes it's like these gaudy plates.
Most times it is. There's like this gaudy, like... neon
LED,
blue light and
okay.
have like palm trees on it and stuff, and then it's like custom made, like engraved in like this glass little thing.
Plastic.
And it's because the parking in Korea is so insane that you're gonna be blocked in constantly,
so you have to call the person who's blocking you.
It's like part of the regular culture.
Funny. Okay, I never
constantly
there
people are just calling them.
My friend once drove us to a pool, and the parking was so crazy that they had parking attendants, and I believe you left your car in neutral, and they did like a push, and they pushed it
like
forward
Tetris
and backwards to get cars in and out of the thing.
Because
it was a super flat,
interesting.
So the point is, I said cars here are a little more nicked up than back home, but compared to Korea, Korean cars are so beat up.
Oh, are they? Okay. Oh, man. Okay.
Mm. At least this is 10 years ago. Well, wow, 10 years ago knowledge, but...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow.
Any final thoughts on driving, getting your license, things that we missed?
Don't be as worried as all the stuff online makes you out to be.
Yeah.
Be the charisma person. And I will say, so again, me and my friend, very different personalities that went to go take the test at the same time, the driver test, right?
Yeah.
I took the same course that he took with the guy, the private lesson. I was the charisma girl. Oh, I hope I do well. I'll try my best. All the stuff.
Right.
I passed.
He bumped something, right? No? Did he actually do something besides the attitude?
No, he did. He did bump something.
Yeah.
But also, he did not do all the stuff. And I wonder the second time I didn't ask him.
At the end of that, the guy did tell you, like, remember, left is, we're not in America. Like,
the
windshield
wiper. He did give me some tips. No, it was about the curb, going too close, not getting close enough to the curb.
Oh, okay.
So, yes.
Before a turn.
I needed him to hit my wheel. But yeah, so, and I literally was like, wait, I got it. And it was kind of confusing. He was like, yes, but, and I was like, but today I will get my license.
Yeah.
And then finally he was like, yes. And I was like, yes!
He gave you a pregnant pause.
So
very pregnant pause. And then telling me about how I'm not getting close enough.
Nice.
Which no one really does that. Do you go closer to the... No, Albert, you don't do it, right?
No, and actually I found that people when they're...
Yeah. You snake away from the curb.
I've seen them kind of like, maybe they're worried about a motorcycle or a scooter getting caught in between. So I see them actually giving a lot more room than I get.
That's what you're supposed to do.
You get a wider angle.
But you're supposed to do the opposite to signal that, I don't know.
I've never heard of that.
And I don't do it now.
How about you? Ever any final thoughts or?
Oh, if you're American, just really be careful about driving on the wrong side of the road. because that instinct is. I've done it in a parking lot, actually in America. After driving in Japan for a year, I did it in a parking lot in America, and it scared the heck out of me. And I've heard of other people just, driving on the wrong side of the road and just almost getting killed.
You have to give a final anecdote. I know a famous silver car story that you did not tell today.
Oh, which
one? Is, I tease you often for being worried about security in Japan.
Oh, yes.
Because I'm very open. I don't lock my doors and stuff.
Yeah.
And you do have a good reason for why you are strict about security. And what happened to you, Albert, with your car?
The very first car I ever owned, it was one of the K cars, the tiny cars. And
the one you bought for $400 or whatever?
Yeah, the one I bought for $400. I came out one morning to go ride it, and I got to the parking lot, and there was no car in the space. And so I looked around for it, thinking, okay, maybe I accidentally parked it somewhere else. And when I finally figured out that it had been stolen, I just started laughing, because in L.A., I've never had a car stolen, probably because I'm ultra careful and I have alarms and
the club
and exactly. So someone stole it, and about a month later it was found, because they had taken it they yanked out the whole ignition, so they damaged it, so I had to pay about $200 to fix that too. So actually I paid to sell the car for $200, and I also paid to fix the ignition for $200. So I paid for the car twice. but in the end, I went to the hardware store. I bought a chain and a padlock, and I tied the steering wheel. I chained the steering wheel to the foot pedal, because I figured an American thief could get away, probably figure out how to cut it and get it out. But I figured the Japanese joyride stealer type of guy was not going to go to the hassle.
Bother with,
he would see the chain and just go, oh, okay.
Where did they find this car?
They found it ditched in some parking lot, and it'd been sitting there, and everyone's so polite, they probably just didn't say anything, because it took a while
did the guy get caught or get in trouble?
They never found it. But actually, I had bicycles stolen in that city, so there's something up with that city.
Yeah.
Well, bikes do get bikes are a known thing to get stolen.
Okay.
Umbrellas, bikes, those are normal.
Umbrellas, yes.
Cars, not normal.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's crazy. Yeah, Albert's actually had a car stolen here.
Yeah. Never in LA. Come here and
I can't visualize a car with the chain with the steering wheel down to the pedal.
Oh,
like,
this is pretty funny. Yeah,
it looks in my mind a hilarious concoction.
I couldn't buy a club here because this was back in the 90s, so I had to make it. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's a wrap. I'll have to think of a great Japanese song about cars. We tend to try to have a theme.
Nice.
So
something like Cornelius and about.
I heard he's really topical right now.
Yes. Oh man.
Well, on that note, send us any questions you have about driving or buying cars, and we'll try to answer them for you. Until next time, see ya.
See ya.
乗り物集まれ、いろんな車どんどん出てこい、働く車、交通安全守ってパトロールカー、
パトロールカー、
道路のほこりに水まき、散水車、
散水車、
飛行機乗り降り階段タラップ車、野球マラソンテレビ中継車、幼稚園バス、
幼稚園バス、
おうちに荷物をお届け、宅配車、
宅配車、
お昼のお弁当、給食運搬車、
給食運搬車、
お肉お魚冷やして冷凍車、
冷凍車、
いろんな仕上げにロードローラ
ー、ロードローラ
ー、鉄の柱も吊り上げクレーン車、
クレーン車、
いろんな車があるんだな、いろんなお仕事あるんだな、走る走る働く車、
うん。